Black Friday at BJ's Wholesale Club is so big, we called in the expert at paying less around the holidays.
Scrooge here. Past, present, or future, it's hard to beat the Black Friday deals at BJ's. Believe me, I've tried. Get 25% off select toys, 30% off select small appliances, and 45% off select TVs through December 1st. Plus, doorbuster deals Thanksgiving weekend. These prices are so good they even rattled old Marley's chain. Ah, humbug. Sorry, old habit.
Visit bjs.com/Black Friday for holiday savings.
Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
Joining us on the line now is English actor Kevin McNally, known for his roles in the Pirates of the Caribbean films. He was actually only one of only three actors who appeared in all five films. He's had roles in various TV shows, including The Crown, Downton Abbey and Unforgotten, and films like The Spy Who Loved Me, Spice World and Sliding Doors. He was recently in Marbella filming a new British sitcom called Ketchup, which follows a hapless British couple who attempt to run a bar on the Costa del Sol. It was launched on the 4th of October at the Red Dog Cinema in Puerto Banús as part of the Marbella International Film Festival. Welcome to the show, Kevin.
Hi, nice to see you again.
Ah, lovely to have you with us. So did you enjoy your time in Marbella?
I certainly did. I've been to the film festival before, in which I won an award. and so I was very glad to come back, but also particularly because this idea had been mooted about directing this sitcom, which, even the idea just appealed to me. And I've been directing short films for about 5 years now. I've directed 12 of them. And I was really ready for something more long-term. And comedy is my favourite, so it couldn't have been a better fit, really.
And what's the difference for you? Obviously, it's a huge difference in terms of the role, but how it makes you feel acting compared to directing and writing, because you've also written as well, haven't you?
Yes. Well, they all feed into each other, obviously. Somebody did once ask me, they said, are you inspired to direct because of all the wonderful directors you've worked with? And I said, no, I'm inspired to direct because of all the dreadful directors I've worked with. And I think after, 50 years that I've been working, I have a rough idea how it works. So I'm very pleased to be involved in the project. And as I say, the idea was appealing in itself. But then Joe Cawley, who I met before at the film festival, he showed me his script, and I, we're right in tune as far as the comedy is concerned. So makes it easy, really.
Yes. I interviewed Joe many, many years ago about the book, and so it's great.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. But yeah, it's based upon.
Yeah, great.
I mean, it's a wonderful, wonderful story.
Yeah, really, really funny.
The idea that two young people are working in a fish market in Bolton and think, let's do something much more fun, and they go to Marbella. In this instance, it was actually Tenerife, I think they went to open a bar, thinking it'll be really simple. And of course, it's not.
Yeah.
It's a very, very hard struggle. And talking about the differences, I've heard, I think it was Morgan Freeman say, a really good director should be a good casting director, because on the day you just watch the performances of the people that you've entrusted with the role, and it's your job to then film it properly and film them properly. So that's tremendously good advice, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And with all the different projects that you've been involved in, some of which I mentioned in the introduction, how do you decide that you want to be involved in something? Do you just go to the audition, or do you have a good look at the script and think, no, I'm not really sure this is for me?
It's very much whether it leaps out to you in the first reading of the script, really. I have been offered some jobs. I got offered on a very famous franchise. I got offered a job, and my agents were like, God, the world would open up to you in terms of going to Comic-Cons and stuff. And I said, yes, but it's just too boring. I couldn't do that for 14 months. It would drive me crazy.
Yeah.
So, you have to go to something that you're going to enjoy, and therefore you're going to do well.
Yeah, that makes sense. You want to be choosy.
Yeah. And you can have, well, not too early on in your career, you can't be choosy, but later on you can be a bit more choosy.
Yeah, no, fair enough. And with all the TV projects that you've done, you know, some big, big shows being involved in, as I said, Downton Abbey, Spooks as well was another one.
Yes.
Some American ones, Designated Survivor, The Good Fight, some great shows. I mean, what's it like being on these big productions?
It's wonderful, really. But in a funny way, over the course of my 50 or so years, it all changed in the 80s when television started to be shot like film rather than with multi-camera in studios and shaky sets and all that, which I did plenty of that in the 70s. But all it is the bigger the film, the bigger the cock-ups are, is what I find. So working on television is very exciting. It's very fast. You have to be very fast. You can't hang about, you know, because you've got to get it done. And it also can come as a surprise. I was asked to do a job in America called Supernatural. I'd never heard of it. And it came out and I came home and I couldn't understand the amount of people who were coming up to me saying how I loved you in Supernatural. But I didn't realize it was such a worldwide phenomenon. So you learn those things as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I suppose you get projects that land on your desk that maybe you haven't heard of, don't know much about. And
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Or with something like Pirates when you, you know, there hadn't been a successful pirate film in 40 odd years. And, you know, you do it. And I thought, well, there'd also been some rather misguided attempts to make films of Disney rides beforehand. But then Johnny Depp and Jeffrey Rush were in. I thought, well, they know more about film than I do. So I signed up to do it. And before we knew it, it was a worldwide phenomenon. And five films later, you know, it's allowed me to travel the world. You're slightly wrong about the three actors, by the way, because there's me, Johnny Depp, Jeffrey Rush, and the monkey. I've been in all five.
I forgot
films.
The monkey. I should have said I forgot. I should have said I forgot Jeffrey Rush. Then shouldn't I?
But, yes, you should have. Yes, you'd have enjoyed that.
But how? I mean, a difficult question to answer, I'm sure. But why do you think the pirate films have done so well? Not just the first one, but the fact that there's been multiple sequels and everybody loves them so much.
Well, I think because Johnny came in with a completely formed character, which Disney didn't like originally, but it's, of course, the thing that drags everybody in. They just want to know more about his adventures. And, of course, Gore Verbinski, who directed the first three films, really created the whole feel of it. And that, I think, was what attracted people. Also, you know, the wonderful mix of humour, character, horror, it's sort of thing, you know, very often, you know, films go, well, we'll just be funny or we'll just be scary or we'll just like that. So it's very hard to place as a genre film. So people have loved it, which I'm very pleased about and very proud to be part of.
And it appeals to all generations as well. You know, they're not kids' films, they're not adult films. You know, there's people all different ages who love them for different reasons, maybe.
Yes, no, absolutely. It certainly appealed to me and my generation because we remember Errol Flynn and Tyrone Power from all of those films that were repeated on television in the 60s, you know, the black and white films. And then, you know, I go around the world doing conventions and people between the ages of 20 and 40, they grew up with these films, you know, and I get some very touching, moving stories from people about, you know, maybe didn't have such good childhoods and they say, well, Pirates was where I went to for my pleasant place, you know, and it's lovely to hear those stories.
It must be so
and
nice.
And get that feedback from the audience. You
yeah,
know?
Absolutely. Because I suppose, what I guess is it's the advent of social media, is it, that people can contact you? Because that wouldn't have happened so much back in the day, would it?
Well, it doesn't. It's more Comic-Cons. It's actually physically meeting people.
Oh, nice. Okay.
When they come up and ask your autograph or whatever, you know, or a picture of the films. Mm. So that's the real way I get to meet the public, yeah.
Yeah. And again, if you weren't doing those at Comic-Cons and things like that, then maybe you wouldn't be getting the feedback. And it must be strange doing a job. Yeah, doing a job like film and television, you know, really prolific roles in big films and shows, and not getting much feedback unless people say something. You know, you're putting out this work, putting your heart and soul into it, and being like, well, you'll know that people are watching because of the figures, but people don't always say anything.
No, and to add to your point, I'm much more interested in what the viewers have to say than what reviewers have to say.
Yeah.
You know, so actually the people who watch it and love it, that's who you want to hear from.
Yeah.
Definitely. And I really enjoy it.
And have you done any writing recently? I know many, many years ago you wrote some Minder episodes, didn't you? That was a while ago.
Yeah, Minder and Boone. No, I didn't, because back in the day, I haven't done any writing recently, apart from having written a novel, by the way, which I'll call Sons of Sol. It's called Sons of Sol. Go out and buy your book instantly. But back in the day when I was writing those things like Boone and Minder, me and my late partner, writing partner, you know, we'd literally go to the pub with the producer and they'd say, well, what do you got? And we'd say, oh, well, Arthur, an old feud comes up between him and the barman, you know, and they say, go ahead and write it. And then slowly over the 80s and over the 90s, and into the early 2000s, it became, you know, everybody, can you write it out first? And then can we have a breakdown of scenes? And, you know, then we'll have a lot of people look at it and talk about it. And I just went, I'm bored with this. You know, I just want to go off and be imaginative, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not a committee man, you know.
No, fair enough. So any more novels on the horizon? When did this novel come out?
About 3 years ago. It's my favourite genre. It's a classic, of the sort of classic sci-fi genre of the 50s and 60s. It's very humorous as well. I have actually two sequels in my mind, but I just can't get the time to write them.
Yeah.
I am pleased to be able to say, because, you know, particularly since lockdown, at a time when I was available to a lot of young filmmakers who I perhaps wouldn't have been available to before, I found myself working with a lot of young filmmakers on short films, on low budget films, so that I don't just do police procedurals on the television, which is, you know, which we are consumed with at the moment.
Yeah.
So I find, you know, it's not as financially rewarding, but it's very artistically rewarding. And so just working with a lot of young people, it's great. And they keep coming back to me and asking me to do more films. So I'm just busy all the time. And, you know, they're all out. So I'm, you know, I'm in Marbella and then I'm in Washington State in America. And then I'm filming in Vancouver. And so the idea of just sitting down for giving myself 3 weeks, 5 hours a day and writing a book hasn't come to me yet.
No.
But when it does, I shall write the sequel.
Great.
Which you'll all be begging for when you've bought me a book.
Of course, of course. And any more TV or film work in the pipeline that we can be looking out for that you can tell us
about?
Well,
yes, I've just finished an episode of Midsummer Murders, of course.
Okay.
I have a number of little films coming out. There's one I particularly enjoy. Its name I can't remember at the moment. But I've really taken the second half of this year off not doing that, because I've not only got catch-up going on, I've got two movies that I want to direct. It's incredibly difficult raising money for, you know, things that aren't police procedurals, or, you know, the movies have been taken over by the franchises, Marvel, etc. So to try to get money for interesting films about interesting people, it's hard work. So I'm sort of devoting myself to that at the moment while going off and doing that. I'm going to France, for instance, next week to do a little film in French.
Wow.
I better start learning that pretty quickly. So, you know, it's all fascinating stuff, really.
Yeah.
But I do want to try to, by January, get one of these projects up and going off the ground and catch up to my number one at the moment.
Yeah. Right. Well, good luck with all of that. If people want to find out about Catch Up and how they can watch it, there's a website, isn't there? Catchupsitcom.com.
Yes.
So they can have
go and see the progress we're making with the series.
Yes, exciting stuff. Kevin McNally, thank you so much for joining us on Talk Radio Europe.
My pleasure, and it was lovely to see you again, and lovely to talk to all of your lovely listeners out there in Radioland.
Thank you, Kevin. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye. Have a lovely show.